Navigating the leap from a home kitchen to a commercial storefront is often the riskiest phase for a growing food business. But what if there's a business that provides the essential bridge by offering 24/7 access to health department approved infrastructure without the crippling overhead of a private lease? By providing easy access to commercial grade equipment and professional storage, this organization has become a friendly addition to for local culinary startups. We'll take a look at how a shared kitchen model is lowering the barrier to entry for the next generation of caterers, bakers, and food truck owners. We are fortunate to have in studio Asia Wild, founder of Shared Kitchen Network. Good morning and welcome to Mountain Money.
Thanks for having me.
For those who have never heard of Shared Kitchen Network, how do you describe what it is and who it's for?
It's an incubator program for food business startups. So a lot of people have family recipes or things that they've developed themselves that they want to share with the world. And of course, when you're sharing food with the public, you want to make sure that it's safe and compliant with health department regulations. And so there's, just a kind of fills that gap between cooking at home for your friends and family and taking that out into the world.
Good. So you said the word incubator. So you must be there helping them along with, do you do permitting for them, help them with their food license?
We help them with every step of the process. From the moment that they decide that they want to do this, this is what they want to do, we'll walk them through all the steps as far as In the food business, you basically have to go through every level of government in order to become fully licensed to sell food to the public. So you've got your, you got to get your business set up with your federal EIN and your state LLC. Mm-hmm. And then from there, just kind of depending on the food business that you're going to do, you've either got to go through the Department of Agriculture or the health department, sometimes both, depending on what you're doing. And then, of course, the city. So I walk them through every step of that process. And then also, in addition to that, we offer some marketing and advertising help to help them grow their business. We offer business advice and support for hiring and payroll and taxes and all of those different things.
So give us a snapshot, a prototype of your typical customer who would have to go through all that. Somebody comes in. What is the model?
So I have a lot of food trucks. So one of the experiences that food trucks have, it's like the idea of having a food truck is kind of a romantic idea.
They've all watched the show, I can do this, right?
Yeah, but it's difficulty level 10 in the food business. And a lot of people don't realize that the mobile food industry in the state of Utah is highly regulated, and there are a lot of hoops to jump through. And so, for example, just last night I met with a couple of guys that were looking at starting up a food truck. They've already purchased the truck. And there are some challenges with having a food truck built. And Salt Lake County's, in particular's, restrictions are very high. And so they're a lot more difficult to pass inspection. So a lot of times what we'll do is we'll have those people come bring their truck by the kitchen and we'll take a look at it and, see if we can identify any problems that might come up in their inspection with Salt Lake County Health Department and make sure that their truck is ready so that they don't end up having to pay extra fees for more inspections and follow-ups and delay more time and, time is money, and a lot of times people are making rent payments on a truck or something like that, and they want to make sure that they're not unnecessarily spending money that they don't have to.
We would all love a service that does a pre-inspection before you have to bring someone in,
Yeah,
Whether it's construction or food or your business, that's huge there. So now, what is your background? I mean, were you a chef, a restaurateur? How'd you get into this?
And no, it's kind of funny. This is my first soiree into the food industry.
Okay.
I have zero experience in this industry. My education is in accounting. I worked in a CPA firm for 11 years. And so I kind of have like the tax and accounting background side of it. My dad was a contractor, so I worked in construction. my mother was a politician, so I, you know, did a lot of stuff with government. And so I kind of have this weird variety of background. And just prior to running the kitchen, I was the president of the West Jordan Chamber of Commerce. And when I decided to leave there, I went to a buddy of mine and I just said, you know, I'm looking for my next adventure. What have you got? And he said, you know, I need somebody with your experience and background in government relations and construction to kind of ramrod this project. And so when I first got involved, my only objective was to get this thing built and, you know, get it open. And through a series of unfortunate events, I sort of ended up with the whole thing in my lap. But it's been a great thing. It's kind of like having my own little chamber of commerce.
So where is the facility physically?
It's in South Salt Lake, so it's just off of 33rd and State.
And how big is it, and what would I see if I walked inside?
It's about 6,000 square feet. Half of that is kitchen space, and the other half is storage. In one area, we have a large open kitchen, lots of natural light, plenty of space for people to work. And then just right adjacent to the kitchen, we have a huge dry storage and cold storage area so they can store their food and supplies. And we have big walk-in refrigerators and freezers that they can, you know, store their food there.
And so what keeps someone from saying, oh, geez, I've run short on lettuce. Oh, hey, look, there's some lettuce in the walk-in.
Oh, we have a very strict no borrowing policy.
Okay, good.
Yeah, everybody is, you know, to go through the licensing process, you have to get licensed at a certain kitchen. And so the licensing process is overwhelming enough, people don't want to go through it again. Mm-hmm. And so they really, really, really do not want to get kicked out of the kitchen.
Of your kitchen, yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, could going through that
Which
again.
We will do, you know, if I see somebody borrowing, and it can be something so innocent. You know, I've had a really unfortunate situation one time where a good lady, good business, was getting ready for an event and broke her can opener. And she thought, oh, I'll just borrow somebody else's can opener real quick. I can just see it right there on the shelf. So she borrowed the can opener, broke that one too. And of course, didn't have time to, but you know, she was in a hurry to prepare for her event. You know, had to go to her event, didn't have time to go get a replacement can opener for the person who she borrowed it from. And so then he came into work and wasn't able to work because he didn't have a can opener. So it messed up his business.
Yikes.
And so it's like, I had to let her go. I was just like, I am so sorry. She's such a good lady and it's such a bad circumstance, but I cannot have you borrowing without permission.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Yeah, it's super tough.
Now, what did you, when you got involved in it and you said they wanted you to join to help ramrod the project through, mm-hmm. What did you and them, all of them, see that made you say, we have to do this? What was going through your mind?
There was definitely a gap in the marketplace as far as people cooking from home. And, mm-hmm. you know, we've all seen the person that's out, you know, trying to hustle, selling tamales in the Walmart parking lot or whatever. And what we want to do is create a space that is affordable for these people to transition from working illegally out of their home into a fully licensed space without having to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on equipment and thousands of dollars on a lease and, you know, starting just going from zero to all in. And statistically, those businesses don't make it. You know, the restaurants are like the highest turnover risk for leases on commercial property. So it's a really high risk business. So we wanted to provide a really affordable way for people to make that transition. We can do, depending on the type of business, we can do something for as little as $100 a month. So it's super affordable and makes it really easy for them to transition out of operating illegally from home and having a fully licensed space so that then they can grow. You know, when you're operating legitimately, you can grow so much faster.
Yeah. Now, can someone do, you mentioned tamales. So, you know, if we come up towards next Christmas, you know, instead of everyone getting together and bringing their tilt head KitchenAids to mix it, they could rent your spot and have a whole group of people making a ton of tamales.
Yeah, you can do a lot more production in a commercial space than you can in your residential space.
And what do you do about cleanliness? How do you maintain the facilities?
So that's like our number one objective. As we looked at other commercial kitchens and spaces, we knew that that was a challenge in the commercial kitchen industry. And so that is one area that we decided to really focus on. So we have somebody on site 24/7. For not only cleanliness, but also repairs and maintenance. You know, we have an electrician on site, a plumber. So it's like if you have the power goes out or an appliance breaks or something like that, we have a leak or something like that, we can fix it immediately so that nobody's business gets interrupted.
That was my next question. What do you do about the maintenance? Because, you know, some of those commercial kitchen appliances are, I mean, they're big and they're strong, but they can be fragile.
Yeah, I had a food truck call me from a different shared kitchen yesterday, in fact, and their gas got shut off. And so he called me to see if he could come cook at my kitchen for the day. Wow. And so it was like, yeah, sometimes these things happen and these businesses need to be able to function. And so that's why we put a high priority on making sure that we have someone on site at all times to make sure these issues are taken care of as quickly as possible.
Yeah. Now, can you share with us a success story of someone who started maybe using just a small spot in your kitchen and then just grew to maybe buy their own food truck or start a restaurant or expand their catering business?
Oh my gosh, I have so many great stories. Probably my favorite one, just like zero to hero story, is a company called Parfait DM. And they make these little dessert cups that are to die for. I don't. Have you ever experienced Parfait DM?
No.
Oh, my God.
I make this wish you brought a sample.
Yeah, I wish I could bring you some. Yeah, I wish I would have known I would have brought samples. But so they started out at $100 a month. Just our smallest package, and they had never sold any product commercially at all, but they had been developing these recipes that everybody just loved. And so they started at $100 a month, and it was slow starting. You know, they spent a lot of time with their marketing and advertising, and slowly grew it to where they eventually moved into, we have a little retail space in the front of the kitchen. It's a small, just a couple hundred square feet, but it has a retail entrance, and they eventually moved into that space and had that space all to themselves. At first they were sharing it with another company. They decided to split the cost with a bakery. And then they eventually took over the full space themselves, and they were operating out of there for a few months until they were able to find their own space in Sugar House. And, so now they're operating out of their own space in Sugar House, and, just so happy for those guys. They really just knocked it out of the park and really did what it took to make it happen.
So they have the full kitchen at their new space.
Yep. Yep.
So they left you.
Yes, which is kind of a bittersweet, you know, it's a bittersweet moment, but it's like, that's the purpose of our kitchen.
That's what an incubator is. Yeah. You work the birds to fly from the nest.
Yeah.
There you go. Perfect. Yeah. Perfect
Just want
example.
To support them in their growth. And yeah, it's a sad day when you lose a good client like that.
Yeah.
But it's like bittersweet tears. You know, I went to their ribbon cutting and grand opening, and I still, you know, I go over there every once in a while and get their amazing desserts. And
nice. What would you say are some of the key traits of individuals or businesses that survive and thrive coming out of there? What is that special sauce they have going on?
Pain tolerance. It's you know, the entrepreneurial journey is just the ability to keep taking haymakers with a smile on your face. So yeah, it's a learning experience, you know. Nobody, there's no perfect answer. There's no script. There's no right way to run a business. It's just learning as you go, and having the tolerance of, you know, the learning is hard. Learning is painful.
Yeah.
And that's all you do as an entrepreneur is just learn and learn and learn. And it's...
But they have a coach. So now let's say someone wanted to start a sourdough bread business. Can you walk us through the steps that person would take once they say, okay, we're going with Asia Wild at Shared Kitchen Network? How does it work? So I'm sure there's a lot of listeners right now who are saying, oh yeah, you know, I make a great dessert. I make a great pasta dish. Can I sell that? How do they do it?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a couple of different routes you can take to when you're first starting out. So if you want to, you know, utilize my help in helping you set up your LLC and your EIN, you know, you can come meet with me and I'll walk through the process. And I actually have some tutorials that I've put together online on our YouTube channel where, you know, you can walk through all the steps of getting licensed from all the way from your LLC and your EIN to health department regulations and or Department of Agriculture, depending on what kind of food you're doing, and then of course the city licensing, and I can walk you through those steps. If you already have your LLC and your federal EIN and you're ready to select your kitchen, you know then you want to look at, obviously it has a lot to do, selecting a kitchen has a lot to do with your budget, and then also your appetite for how much you want to haul in and out, because storage increases the cost.
Yeah.
So if you're just using the kitchen, it can be super cheap, but the storage taking up that real estate can be a little bit more expensive. So then it just kind of becomes a matter of choosing between, you know, what's more important, saving money or saving your back from hauling and everything.
Back and forth. Now, can they park close to the kitchen entrance?
Uh-huh.
So, okay.
Yeah.
So if someone's making sourdough,
have like a little cart and stuff they can roll stuff in and out with.
So if someone's doing, you know, bread, they're just making bread. Boom. They have their starter. They have bags of flour. That's it. But if you have a food truck, you have meat and vegetables and, you know,
yeah, yeah. Just depending on the type of food that you're doing and what your business is. You know, we serve bakers and caterers and people that are doing meal prep for their buddies at the gym.
Yeah.
I just signed up a guy last night that's making suckers. So, you know,
really?
All kinds of things. Stroop waffles. Who else do I have? I got a guy that makes kimchi that's in there a lot.
that I need.
Yeah.
Homemade kimchi. Come on.
It's the best.
Yeah.
It's the best.
Okay. So real quick before we split, how can listeners find you and find Shared Kitchen Network on social media and the website?
Yeah. So the website is sharedkitchen.network. Instead of .com, there's no .com, just sharedkitchen.network. And we're at Shared Kitchen Network on YouTube and Instagram and all the socials.
Excellent. One last thing. Give our listeners a bit of advice. Let's say they've been dreaming about this, starting something like this. What are the first steps they could take this month to put their plan into action?
Go on the website, sharedkitchen.network/tour, and book a tour. That has a link to my calendar, and you can book a tour with me. And on the tour, I can get a feel for where you're at in the process, you know, what you've been doing so far, and then give you the next steps for your particular business. Like, tell you exactly, I can either help walk you through getting the LLC and the EIN, or I can help you navigate choosing between what's going to be the most appropriate for your business as far as getting licensed through the health department or Department of Agriculture. And then I can walk you through, you know, what your options are in the kitchen as far as, you know, storage and kitchen time and equipment and all that fun stuff. So I would say book a tour. so that we can have a little consultation.
Well, we just spent a few minutes with Asia Wild and learned all about Shared Kitchen Network. Thank you, Asia, for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This was fun.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.